You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
PackersTalk.com.
On this episode of Cheesehead Radio,
Joe Barry and Matt LaFleur are under fire.
Aaron Rodgers isn't in the clear either.
Davante Adams faces assault charges.
And the Jets game becomes the line.
Four quarters of Packers Talk.
Right here on
Cheesehead Radio.
Hello again, Cheesehead Nation. It's once again time for some Packers news, fun, and frivolity here on Cheesehead Radio in our 13th season. Our esteemed hosts tonight are C. DeAngeli of Packers Talk, known as TundraVision on Twitter. Kelly Hodgson is on assignment in Luxembourg after getting on the wrong plane out of London on Sunday, so she won't be with us tonight. And the other host is little old me, Jersey Al of Packers Talk and Cheesehead TV. You can find me at JerseyAlGBP on Twitter. Our longtime friends at Ticket King are back as official sponsors of Cheesehead Radio and all of the Packers Talk podcast. Ticket King has been in business for more than 25 years in Wisconsin and has offices across the street from Lambeau Field and in Milwaukee. For Packers tickets, visit their website today at theticketking.com. That's theticketking.com. That's it for the preliminaries. Let's get going.
All right, so I don't know when Kelly's going to be back. She just texted, and I think she's trying to hitchhike home from Luxembourg. So
Is she, like, join the Amazing Race or something? Is that what's going on, maybe?
It could be.
What's her next destination?
I don't know if she's going to win.
Yeah. don't think so either. But
yeah, I won't put any money down on that one. But anyway, hopefully she'll be back with us next week. But just you and me, Al.
Think just we can do us. This? I think we can manage somehow.
Let's do it. All right. Well, the Green Bay Packers took one on the nose, went to England. Obviously, we talked about it last week. First game ever overseas. We're all excited.
Excited.
Yeah. I mean, just we talked about how it was just an icky win coming out of the Patriots game. This just felt terrible, you know, giving up a 17-3 lead. And, oh, it was frustrating.
Yeah, we had some nerve complaining about an icky win, didn't we?
Yeah, I think an icky loss will always beat an icky win.
Or not so, beat, but be worse than, yeah.
Yeah, on the indignation scale, sure.
Okay, good. There you go. You have to define the scale. Okay, good.
Perfect. Well, let's hop into the first quarter here, and let's just really talk about what the heck is wrong. We got a couple people that we certainly can talk to a little bit here, but the person getting the most press, Al, is, of course, Joe Barry and defense, which really did come apart, especially in the second half against the Giants. What's going on here? And, I mean, we're giving the fire Joe Barry's.
Yeah, and rightfully so. I mean, I'm never a fire person, but I can understand why people are doing it. You know, I mean, does he know what's going on? Does he understand the game situation? Does he understand what teams are doing to beat him consistently that they're not doing, that they're not covering? I don't know. I can't find much that he's doing right as a coach.
And it just doesn't seem like he's switching out of what is this base scheme defense, this two shell, this zone defense that we've slowly watched over the first, you know, five games, even the first four games. We've watched offenses with bad quarterbacks at times figure this out. I mean, get passes off to wide open receivers 15 yards down the field, and they're finding these consistently. And you're like, how is this happening? We're supposed to have this really, really good defensive backfield. I mean, three really top-notch corners and really two safeties that are no slouches either, and they're looking terrible. Why are we switching out of this two-shell?
Because it's called being too invested in what you know and being afraid to make changes and being afraid to lose. you know, they're playing not to lose, right? I mean, I don't think anybody can dispute that. The Tuchel is what they know. It's what Barry knows. It's all right. What we more important than anything, we don't want to give up a big play. Well, you know, when you let a team like the New York Giants with no wide receivers, with an average quarterback, with a bad ankle, go 7 and 8 minute drives in the second half, what is that accomplishing? Yeah, okay, you didn't give up a big play. We also took the hands, you know, the ball out of the hands of your offense for 15 minutes on those two drives. I mean, that's just, and I'll talk about this later when we talk about things on the offensive side, it's just lack of game awareness. And that's what I'm seeing from this whole Packers coaching staff is a lack of game situation awareness. They've predetermined what they're going to do. This is the right thing. I don't know how much analytics plays into it, but I'm sure it does at some point, you know, at some level. But they don't know how to adjust or change. It's crazy.
I think it was TJ Slayton who had the quote after the game saying to the effect, you know, we really had a great game plan. We really we knew what we were going to do, but then we didn't know what to do when they didn't do what we thought they should have done.
Exactly. So, you know, that kind of digests, distills it right down there, doesn't it?
It really does, because you're like, okay.
And by the way, he had a great game. By the way, he had a great game.
He did.
Sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, but what's the other bullet in the arsenal? I mean, if your two-shell zone defense is your base, and all of a sudden they're able to beat your zone, I mean, no different than basketball. I mean, if they're beating your zone, go man-to-man.
And
they're beating your man-to-man, go to zone. And there's no other option.
Yeah, the other effect is that you're really, I think, creating a lack of confidence in your players, and it's showing in their play, right? I mean, players that were absolutely solid, and we're talking mostly about the pass defense here, you know, in sure. coverage, right? Players that last year were absolutely solid. Eric Stokes, right? He filled in for Jair, and he was great the entire season.
Absolutely.
He's getting beat all over the place. Rasul Douglas, he probably saved the regular season for the Packers last year, playing outside. So where are they playing him, right? As a nickel corner. He can't play there. That's not him. He doesn't have the body type to play there, right? And Devondre Campbell, if you watch, you know, I do a lot of watching the games again in the back, because when I'm watching it the first time, I'm watching it as a fan and reacting and not really paying attention that closely. Man, he is making a ton of mistakes back there. And he's waving to this guy to do this, and other people are waving to him like, you were supposed to be there. And it's just a total mess. Jair is yelling at Savage, like, what were you doing? Two plays later, Savage is yelling at Devondre Campbell, like, where were you? It's just crazy how they've regressed. Really good players have regressed.
And Devondre Campbell, actually, that was the one I was going to bring up on just how he looks so lost from making such an impact as a free agent last season. You know, we're seeing some good stuff from, you know, Rashawn Gary, obviously. Preston Smith is still having an impact occasionally on the pass rush. But Kenny Clark's doing well. But what we're not seeing is we're not seeing turnovers. We're not seeing that aggressive attacking. Yeah. Let's you know that's what's going to win a game for you most of the time.
Yeah, when you sit back and allow completions because you're happy that they were only short completions and not over your head, well, you're not going to get any interceptions that way, right? You're going to let them catch the ball. You're going to tackle them and say, oh, good, we held them to 8 yards. They didn't beat us for a touchdown. Well, I don't know what else to say about that.
Well, and you know my ongoing belief on synergy and, you know, the opposite of synergy, that, you know, you're playing less than the sum of your parts. So much of that comes to, you know, from those non-physical traits. It's that mental teamwork, et cetera. You know, as you're not playing to the talent of your team, you know we have three of the best man cover corners, probably the best three man cover corners in the league, and we're making them play zone all the time, and they're not doing well. So you're seeing this frustration and this quit. And, you know, Jair Alexander has really been this unfiltered source of frustration this year in general. you know, if he's willing to say that, what else is going on in that locker room? They're getting down. They're not playing well. You're seeing them argue on the field, as you just said. This isn't just maybe scheme, and it's not just the talent. It's motivation. It's attitude. It's the whole ball of wax.
Yeah, and lack of confidence. I mean, you saw how the Giants defense play. You
know, more than the sum of their parts.
I mean, you know, they are nowhere near as, or on paper, here you go with the defense on paper thing again, but they are nowhere near where the Packers are as far as talent level, right? They don't have six first-round draft picks on their defense and four Pro Bowlers on their defense. However, you know, they let them go and get after people, and, you know, when – you know, defense is a very emotional thing, right? And when you let a defense do that and go out and get after people and they have a little success, it just snowballs, right? And suddenly it becomes a thing beyond what their talent level is. And you're seeing the exact opposite of that with the Packers. They're playing way below their talent level because they're not being allowed to go out and play with aggression.
So let's switch to the other side of the ball for a second. Let's talk a little bit about a run game. We were high on praise.
What's that?
Exactly. Well, we talked about it a lot last week.
Myself especially, I was so insistent on commending them for finally committing to the run. And, of course, I asked the question, would it last more than 1 week? CD, did it last more than 1 week?
It lasted maybe a half. Maybe.
I wouldn't even say they really committed that as much, but yes, better than the second half. Anyway, go ahead.
But Aaron Rodgers did announce it before the game. Oh, we're in London. Am I going to put on a show for you? And, you know, I heard them say that in the pregame, and I just shook my head, and I says, oh, here we go. And four rushes in the second half for Aaron Jones, who we said last week is a monster, and obviously AJ Dillon, who's literally a monster, especially in the quadricep area. And in so many cases, we were looking to pick up third downs and shorts, 2 yards, and we're passing and passing and passing.
And they were winning the game.
That's all you needed to do.
It's not like they were behind and had to come from behind at that point. They were winning comfortably. Continue doing what you were doing.
But we had to put on a show, Al.
Well, yes, we did put on a show, didn't we?
Sure,
and
did.
It's the type of show that there's a word that goes in front of it. you know, that starts with an S, and you all know what I mean. It was a show, all right.
But, you know, speaking of which, we talked about some of the candor on, you know, from Jaire Alexander and some of the defense. You're starting to see the endlessly happy duo of A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones. I mean, you're talking about constant rays of sunshine and positivity. They're not sounding positive. They're like, why am I not getting the ball? Aaron, A.J. Dillon was averaging like 5-point-something yards a carry.
Yeah, he was totally minimizing. Totally minimizing.
And you need 2 yards. What are you doing? Two yards. You're averaging 5 yards a carry.
I mean, and surprisingly enough, I mean, Aaron Jones, who is like the nicest guy and the most company Go Packers, you know, type of player. He made an honest assessment after the game, you know, and he when he was asked, he said, you know, I'll bet my money on needing 2 yards on myself and Dillon in two plays that we'll get those 2 yards. You know, I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he said. That really surprised the heck out of me that he would say that just because of who he is and how he normally comports himself.
Exactly.
But you could tell he was bugged by it, man. He was bugged.
And, you know, it's a lack of respect. Have a guy like this, like Aaron Jones, who has stuck with the Packers. I mean, he's in what is like fifth, sixth year? I mean, that's ancient for like an NFL running back. This guy's been here. He's staying with the program. He wants to win the Super Bowl here. Big sombrero and everything. And it's like, why are you not giving me the ball? It's disrespectful to me, which really is taking me to our larger point here. Joe Barry, lack of the running game, whose shoulders is this suddenly starting to fall on, and rightfully so?
The person in charge of everything?
Yes. No, not Brian Gutekunst.
On the field, in charge on the field.
Yeah. Matt LaFleur, who I think has been probably one of the most popular coaches, certainly My Coach is Hotter Than Your Coach t-shirts have been selling for the past several years with great more swiftness than they did under Mike McCarthy.
I don't know why. It must be the eyebrows.
could be. But Matt LaFleur, you know, really has to be where the buck stops. So Jason Wilde was saying, actually, on the post-game show on TMJ, he said at one point last week, Matt LaFleur admitted publicly that there was a disagreement between he and Joe Barry about how to approach the philosophy of the defense this week. Now, why Matt LaFleur would come out to the public, because you're talking to a guy who's very closely guarded and usually takes most of the blame of himself or onto himself. And here he is just kind of saying, yeah, we had a disagreement. Yeah. It's like, does he have the control of his defensive coordinator? Does he have a say?
He's got a say, but I think he's much more prone to trust the people that he's hired and delegated. You know, he has a say in it, but in the end, he'll give them the rope to hang themselves. Not that he will do anything, but he's willing to give them that rope. And it's a mistake most of the time, I think, because he's not the only one he gives too much rope to.
Well, I'm pretty sure that Joe Barry has taken that rope and run with it, and now we can't find him or the rope.
Yeah.
I think that's part of the problem. So the question is Matt LaFleur going to go to Joe Barry and say, you need to change this? You need to put some sort of scheme in place to where our three cornerbacks are playing man. You need to put Jair on their number one receiver. If they've got a Justin Jefferson, Jair Alexander should be following him on the field. Is he going to have the guts to do that, or is he just going to sit back and continue to let Joe Barry, now that, honestly, defense, I mean, I'm reading some of the stuff on the Jets coming up this week.
Yes.
They've got it figured out. They already know. They've cracked the code on what to do on how to play the Packers. You know, they know where to pass the ball. You know, it's running these little kind of cross-field routes and, you know, do a little rub route. And this guy's
wide open. Everyone knows now.
Exactly. You're not going to change it. They're going to keep doing it. So is Matt LaFleur going to have that ability to go to Joe Barry and say, fix this? You need to fix it or you're going to be out of here.
Well, here's the thing. This isn't the first week that we've heard Matt LaFleur in a press conference say that, you know, we need to get more aggressive. We need to adjust it. We need to do all this stuff on the defense, right? Not the first time, not the second time, probably three or four times now. So he keeps publicly saying that they need to get more aggressive, but has it happened? No. So to answer your question, I don't think he has the guts to do it and to be forceful about it and say, this is what I want you to do. Come up with a game plan that does what I want you to do.
It's such a waste of talent. And I don't know how, as head coach, you can look at the talent on paper that defense has and look at it playing, you know, you're talking what, lower half of the NFL rankings. I mean, this is not a good defense right now. It's not a reliable defense. It's a bend but don't break defense. And last week it broke.
Yeah, it does way too much bending. And that's what happens when you bend too much, you break.
So, and of course, the other issue with Matt LaFleur is, of course, Aaron Charles Rodgers. This has been an ongoing conversation for years. But, oh my gosh, has it come to the forefront in, you know, the last several weeks? We talked last week about, you know, especially when Tony Romo was pointing out the run-pass options and the RPOs and actually pointing out, oh, here's a situation where the running back was expecting the ball and he chose to pass. And I'm like, you're not going to tell me that didn't happen the whole second half? Did Matt LaFleur call all but four passing plays that entire half, or did Aaron Rodgers option out of them? I know what my guess is.
But however, CD.
Yes.
I listened to the latest Matt LaFleur press conference, which I don't know if it was yesterday or today. I just happened to listen to it today on Packers.com. And his assertion, because he was asked about that. He was asked about, you know, at some point, do you get into the decisions made on those RPOs and whether they should have been runs? And his answer, again, paraphrasing, because I've got a horrible memory, but I remember the point. His answer was, I trust him absolutely 100% his decisions that he makes on the field. So basically, he's not going to question. Roger says, free reign. It's your decision on the field. You make it. I'll back you. I don't think that's a healthy coach-quarterback relationship.
I don't know if it's ever been a healthy coach-quarterback relationship. I think we knew that coming in, that we're worried about any coach that they hired was going to have a difficult time managing Aaron Rodgers. It's been okay. It's been, you know, 13-3 a couple seasons in a row, and then fine. But you know, it's coming to roost right now, especially with both Joe Barry. I trust my guy, Aaron Rodgers. I trust my guy. Trust yourself right out of a job if this keeps up. And at some point, the buck stops with you. I love Matt. I love him. I think he's a great guy. I mean, fantastic guy. He's that aw shucks kind of guy who takes accountability, you know, publicly. You know, you just love seeing that. Yeah, that's my fault. You love seeing a coach say those things, but you got to back it up.
Yeah.
All right, so that'll take us to the end of the first quarter.
That was a long quarter.
Well, it needed to be done.
We'll
take less time on the others.
The Giants had possession the entire quarter almost on that. They were and dunking, and they really held us up. But go ahead.
They did. That second quarter, we'll just expand a little bit about on Aaron Charles Rodgers and just his play and, I guess, his approach this year. But my philosophy is that he plays like a guy who spent an offseason in Central America doing hallucinogens. I don't know why he'd be playing like that, but it's just what it feels like this year.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I actually wrote about that today. And also, Peter Bukowski put out an interesting tweet, right? Yesterday, this was. I'll read the tweet to you here. Aaron Rodgers is playing like a quarterback who publicly feuded with his team, choked in the playoffs before mulling retirement, didn't believe he could help the team by coming to spring ball, and then spent the summer doing more podcasts than me. But no, I can't figure out what's wrong either. So I replied to him, you left out and spent the offseason seeking enlightenment and self-love with hallucinogens or something to those lines. Yeah. So I think that kind of summarizes it all. You know, you put that all together, and I think it's a 100% valid point. You know, and I wrote today that, how do you pronounce it? Ayahuasca? Is that right?
Sure.
Okay. My title of my article was Ayahuasca is overrated. And the first thing was, you know, the one thing you can see that these ayahuasca trips and the self-enlightenment and the self-love, the only good thing I can see from it is that Rodgers is now better at accepting his own failures. I left it at that.
I don't know if I agree with that.
I think he's much better at saying, okay, it didn't go the way we planned, but no problem. I still love me.
Change.
I'm still good. I still love myself. The world is great. I'm fine. I think that's where he is mentally.
Well, and that's the fear you have, is just this lack of engagement, I think, sometimes, that we feel on the field, and just this somewhat temperamental, an emotional person. We know what it's like. We remember Devontae Adams when he was young. I remember when Devontae would drop a pass and Aaron Rodgers would just blow up.
Right.
Just blow up at him and not, you know, throw another ball that way the rest of the game to Devontae Adams. Now it's like he pouts. Now it's like, you know, he goes out there and you can just see him. He's just like, I'm just going to throw the ball here as hard as I can. And then he's like, I'm going to throw these long passes, and they're just off.
But then he sulks coming off the field.
Exactly. It's this pouting and sulking.
He comes off the field, he's shaking the head, the pouting, goes and sits on the bench, doesn't engage with his teammates or tell them, you know, talk to the receivers and say, here's what I want you to. He's on the bench. You know, he might look at a tablet, might throw one or two every once in a while. Talk to the quarterback's coach, and that's it. I mean, you know, people are going to always criticize you for being body language police, right? I get that a lot, but I totally believe in body language and leadership on the field, you know, for a quarterback. And that goes back to, for me, that goes back to Bart Starr, you know.
Yes.
That's where it started with me. And that's why Bart Starr was the one player that for my entire life, I really was the only player I ever idolized, you know, because of the way he comported himself on the field and off the field.
Well, he's a true leader.
Yeah, true leader.
Absolutely. So as we look at what's going on with Aaron Rodgers, we're looking at this, all the things you mentioned in your article and Peter Bukowski mentioned, but also the stuff just on the field. Yeah, you know.
Oh, you want to talk about that too?
Because it's important, you know, he's limiting himself to a lot of these short and intermediate passes, and he's actually doing really well. I mean, he's pretty deadly when he's on with these short and intermediate passes, but his average per pass has fallen to 6.9 yards per completion. He was up around 8 the past 2 years. I mean, that's a whole yard drop off. It doesn't seem like a lot, but we sure feel it, don't we, when we're looking at all these third and fives or longer. You know, we're used to seeing those nice 10-15 yard passes once in a while, you know, over the middle of the field or a nice sideline route, you know, with a toe tap touch or something like that. There's so many passes being thrown behind the line of scrimmage, on the line of scrimmage, just a few yards past the line of scrimmage, and yet when he tries to throw long, they're like halfway in the seats. They're nowhere near. They're not close. And so a defense doesn't have to play honest with him on long passes. I think roughly he's completed 2 passes, I think, over 15 yards out of 15 passes.
Well, that's the exact reason that the Giants are willing to go cover 0 and just man up on the receivers and take their chances.
They basically put 8 in the box.
Yeah, they that's cover 0. They challenged the Packers to throw. They made them throw deep.
Dared them.
And it worked because, you know, they weren't very good at it, though, were they, the Packers?
No, not at all.
No.
So here's the guy we're spending, what, $50 million on the salary cap on. He's becoming a distraction off the field. He's becoming less effective on the field. And I guess the part that gets me is we get to the end of the game and he comes in to play hero ball. You know he's coming in to play hero ball because we stopped handing off to our running backs. Even got into that very last play of the game where you're like, hey, maybe we're going to have like a Detroit Lions, you know, huge Hail Mary game, hero ball. And it just looked ridiculous. I mean, he was hit before he could even get the ball back. He doesn't seem to have the magic anymore. Has he aged out of that? I mean, I know that's a very subjective opinion, but you take all of these things added together. Is he still the same Aaron Rodgers we had 3, 4, 5, 6 years ago?
He sure doesn't look like it. He sure doesn't look like it.
So I'm going to ask you the question. If Aaron Rodgers retires at the end of this year, are you good?
I was good last year.
How about the year before that?
We talked about it. I don't know about the year before that, but we talked about this last year. And with everything that was going on, you know, like, is he going to come back, blah, blah, blah. And I said, you know what? I'm ready. I'm ready. If they wanted to move on, if they wanted to get Denver to give them a boatload of picks for Aaron Rodgers, I was ready.
I was ready, too. I was pushing for it. I was shocked it didn't happen.
Yeah. So too late now.
Yep. Now we're stuck. And we'll be paying for this contract when he does retire or move on for quite a while. So interesting. And the thing is, you know, you want to talk about you saying, oh, I said this last year, 2018, I said, put a franchise tag on, draft some kid named Josh Allen and let him, you know, work on a franchise tag for a couple years until he wants to move on and then do it. I was ready to be done with it then because they said, I didn't think he's going to have what it took to win another Super Bowl. And here we are now, 4 years later, we've won 0 Super Bowls. Are you feeling like we're going to win one this year at this point?
Not now, but that doesn't mean I've given up on anything.
I'll ask you about that later in the game. So,
okay.
All right. That'll take us to the end of the second quarter. We are 0-2. It is not a good week so far, so we're just going to go take a break. We're going to see if we do a better job with our halftime adjustments than the Packers do. While we do that, please enjoy this message from our sponsor. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1,
hey! you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field?
Yeah.
If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King.
Oh, yeah.
Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay.
Oh, yeah.
Just go to their website.
Do it.
TheTicketKing.com. Again, that's TheTicketKing.com.
All right, welcome back to Cheesehead Radio. I am CD Angeli, Tundervision on Twitter, and I am joined by the amazing Jersey Al Bracco at Jersey Al GBP on Twitter. And we're here for the second half of Cheesehead Radio. Former Packer and source of much consternation for the last 8 months or so, Devontae Adams has been having a very statistically good year now with the Las Vegas Raiders. However, he got himself into a little bit of hot water this week.
Just a bit.
Just a bit. So from your perspective, Al, tell us what happened.
Tell the people what happened. Well, Devontae Adams was quite annoyed at the end of that game. The Raiders actually had a chance to win the game. They were down, and then they got down to, I believe it was their last, it was fourth down, their last play. I don't remember all the details, but it was like one last ditch effort to get into field goal position, I believe. Someone correct me if I'm wrong, and that would have to be you because there's no one else here to correct me.
Yeah, I didn't watch the game, so you're good.
All right. So in any case, I just remember the play. And what happens is that Devontae Adams and the other receiver, I think it was Renfro, they were both on the left side. Devontae Adams gets manned up at the line of scrimmage, and his route kind of gets thrown off, right? Next thing you know, Adams and the other receiver, Renfro, crash into each other. The pass is incomplete. Devontae goes off the field, takes his helmet, and smashes it down on the ground, okay? Cut to the end of the game. Showing the tunnel, Devontae Adams, some guy with, I don't know what he was holding. It doesn't look like a camera. It looked like maybe a stand that a camera goes on or something.
Yeah, the stand, or maybe it was a mic or something like that. I don't know what
could
it was.
Yeah, it could be a mic on a stand, something like that. But he's like directly, he pops up directly in Adams' path. And Adams just two hands and just gives him a shove. And the guy goes hurling to the ground, you know, and so
kinda
now
like European soccer, would you say?
It wasn't that bad of a flop, but yeah, he went down pretty easy. But you know, I don't know how big the guy is. I can't see. Devontae Adams is a football player, you know, maybe he was embellishing, maybe he wasn't, but regardless, at this point now you have that the local authorities are considering possible police, possible charges against Devontae Adams. He's probably going to get some.
He actually has been charged.
He has been. Okay, that must have happened today then, okay?
Misdemeanor assault.
Misdemeanor assault, which means the league will probably take some kind of action. They might suspend him for a game and fine him or maybe just fine him. But, this isn't the Devontae Adams that we knew, right, with the Packers.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure how to judge who's right and who's wrong in this from what I've seen. So I'm just going to leave that. But my comment of all this was seeing the way he acted, even going off the field and throwing his helmet, something we never saw when he was with Green Bay. Devontae, the grass is not necessarily greener in Vegas, is it?
It is not.
The money might be greener.
It might be. And
the grass is not appear to be greener.
We have a lot of wide receivers who have left Aaron Rodgers or maybe even Brett Favre believing that they were the answer and we're going to go somewhere else and have just as much success as they had with Brett Favre or with Aaron Rodgers. Javon Walker, great example, went to Denver, completely melted down there. Greg Jennings, of course.
Yes.
Our new Hall of Famer thought
good old
he was
Greg.
All that and suddenly realized that, you know, maybe Aaron Rodgers had something to do with his success. But, you know, here's Devontae. And I'm not saying because Devontae's having great success. I mean, he statistically probably is one of the top receivers in the leagues in terms of, you know, touchdowns per reception. And I think he had three catches for over 100 yards and two touchdowns in this game.
Most of the yards was on one play. But
exactly. But still, I mean, statistically, he can't look at his stats and say, I'm doing significantly worse than with Aaron Rodgers, but he's with a team that is losing, that is not doing well, and that he is not used to.
And he's not liking it.
He is not. So, you know, obviously there's some issues. The Raiders and Chiefs are rivals. That photographer probably should not have been where he was, and it does appear that the photographer bumped him first. I don't know. Is it a setup? Yes, no. I mean, Andrew Brandt even said on Twitter today, he said, you know, is he going to get a fine out of this and possible suspension? Yes. And then he's like, would there be any suspension or fine from the league if there was not video? No. But it was an ugly looking play. He looked like he was an angry man. Especially with slamming his helmet just prior to that. Doesn't add up well. So is this going to change a little the narrative, though? Because it seems like we really can't watch any Packer game without them mentioning, boy, I bet you they wish they still had Davante Adams on the team. Is the narrative now, boy, I bet you Davante Adams really wishes he was back on the Packers.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's funny, watching that game, I posed a Twitter question to Packers fans. Would you rather have Derek Carr and Davante Adams on the Packers or Aaron Rodgers and Lazard Cobb? And it was actually, to my surprise, fairly mixed, which is how pissed off everybody is at Aaron Rodgers and the Packers at the moment. And that's what that was the reason for my question. I wanted to see how influenced people were by their moods, you know, and they were definitely influenced. They were in a sour, sour mood.
But the reality is, here are two guys who are productive and happy as clams with each other. And now on two separate teams, they're both playing pretty either angry or uninspired. Neither of them are really engaged. So they're both unhappy. I don't know if they're unhappy because of each other or they're just unhappy, period, but they're both clearly unhappy.
I wonder if they're texting each other and commiserating, you know.
I'm sure they are. You know, like. Hit me up, yo. All right. So, you know, obviously, I mean, I love Davante Adams, big fan. It was a bit of a trash move on his part, but you don't want to see bad things happen to him. So we will say this is also a loss. So we're now 0-3.
Well, that's quite appropriate for this week. So
I would say so. So I'm sure we're going to have a great topic. Oh, no.
Are we?
No.
No.
So
do we just take the L here and go home?
We're not even going to talk about the fourth quarter. It's just another loss. We're not even going to tell you what the topic was, gang.
Just walk off the field and we're taking the loss. Where are you going? That's it.
It's not the victory formation. It's the defeat formation.
The defeat formation. Walking off the field. Right. Into the tunnel. Hopefully we don't see any photographers. But in any case, go ahead. Let's do it.
All right. So we're going to do our predictions here in a moment, but before we do, there's Jair Alexander, once again, no stranger to being a little provocative this season, has called this upcoming game against the Jets like this is the line. Like, he's asked, are you worried, Jair Alexander, by the media who knows that he's really ticked off this season, is not going to be afraid to shoot off his mouth? And he did. He said, you know, I'm not worried, but if we lose next week, I am. I am worried if we lose against the Jets.
I would be too.
But he said it. And Aaron Rodgers even said, you know, guys, we really shouldn't be this negative in the locker room.
Yeah, I don't like that kind of talk.
Golly gee, guys.
It doesn't go with the whole existential happiness that I have. It's interfering with my sphere of happiness. So
yeah, you should try some of my Quaaludes. Anyway, But let's call this out.
Boy, aren't we bitter tonight.
Jair Alexander basically saying right now, this is it. We lose this game, we're in trouble. Now, mind you, judging from everything we've just said about how this game went in London, how they're barking at each other on the field, how they're barking in the locker room off the field. And now he's saying, yeah, we lose this game, it's all gone to shit now, right?
If it hasn't already, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, he's called it out. He said this is it.
Go ahead.
This technically becomes a must-win scenario.
He's drawing the line in the sand. Is that what he you're does. Saying?
Exactly. Okay. Now, The Jets have 3 wins. They are also 3-2. Their 3 wins have come against either backup quarterbacks or quarterbacks who are now benched. They're not that great of a team, talent-wise. Once again, you take our team
like on paper. Like the Giants.
Their team on paper. These guys are overachieving. They're doing well. They are scrappy, and they make it happen if they get an opportunity. But they haven't played great teams. So are the Packers... talk to me about the Packers needing to win this game.
CD, the Packers need to win this game.
Oh, you always excel. Thank you.
It's important, you know. I mean, I don't blame Jair for saying it, you know. I mean,
I celebrate it. Thank you, Jair, for saying it.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I don't care if Rodgers doesn't like it or not. I think Jair coming right out and saying it puts that thought in everybody's mind, you know, and maybe it'll help with motivation. Maybe it'll put the pressure on the coaches to help put pressure on the coaches to help turn this around, or on Rodgers to turn it around, you know. And, you know, I do believe that they still can turn it around, but I think we're going to get there in a little bit, right? We'll talk about that.
Absolutely. So let me ask you this question.
Go ahead.
If this is a Packers win, but it's a win like the one they had against the Patriots.
Oh, God, don't do this to me.
Are we still worried?
We are worried.
Does the win fix it?
No.
Like we'll Jair said?
We'll take the win, but we are still worried.
Okay, so this not only needs to be a win, it needs to be a convincing win.
Yeah, that would be nice. Yes, that would be good.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to finish up here before predictions. I need to know. Jersey, we're 5 games in. 5 games out of 7. You know what percentage that is?
3-2, just like the Jets.
Yes, we're 5 games in, and that's, I don't know, Kelly did the 23-point-something percentage. So whatever, we're like 28% through the season. Where do you stand on the Packers' chances right now? You can change this later. This is not like we're going to hold this against you in week 9 or 10 and 11, because obviously as facts change, sure. So do opinions. But right now, Packers in the playoffs or not?
I believe that they can still make the playoffs, yes.
So will they make the playoffs or not?
I believe that they could still. Right. I'm not willing to give up on them. The answer is yes, but I'm not willing to give up on them, right? Because they've been in situations before, right? We had the shh year.
Yep.
We had the relax year. We had the run the table year. You know, they were all facing dire or bad situations those years and came back and were rather successful. So can they do that this year? Yes, they can. So I'm willing to say that, yes, they will make the playoffs.
All right. NFC Championship game or nah?
Am I the only one that gets to play this game?
Yes.
Oh, who made these rules?
Me.
You. NFC Championship game. Well, I'll tell you a funny story.
Bring it.
It's not really funny, but it's funny, sad.
Funny, funny, strange, got it.
Yeah, no, it's, remember we were talking so much about the defense on paper, and you were like, this is the best defense they've ever had, semi-facetiously, and we were talking about the talent, and we had Bisaccia coming on to fix the special teams. But I was so enthusiastic, personally, about their chances that I actually bet on them to win the NFC Championship this year.
Wow.
And I actually bet on them to win the Super Bowl this year. I mean, big odds, right? It's like going to the racetrack and betting on the 30-1 shot, right?
Sure.
Yeah. I said, what the heck? Why not? But I haven't. But my point is, I didn't do it the previous year. I didn't do it the year before. I really thought this could be the year, because I thought they could have a balanced team in all three phases. Well, hell, they, as in previous years, they have one good phase, but it's not the one that's ever been good. It's the special teams, right? How ironic is that?
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. So in any case, that tells you where I was. I think it was probably in between game one and game. No, it was after game two, after the Bears game, I decided that they could do this. Let's just say I wouldn't make those bets right now. Okay, I would not do that. And I didn't bet a lot of money. I'm not a big gambler or anything. It's just a for fun thing. But still, I would not make those bets now, no.
So that's a long answer.
Well, I wanted to tell you that I,
yes,
you know, long made answer the to stupid say, mistake of putting
probably,
money on them.
Probably nah, now is what you're saying.
Probably.
We can change it later.
Yes, okay, I'm good with that.
All right. I'm good with that. Okay, well, that'll take us to the end of the fourth quarter. We are 0-4 today,
that was like
friend.
Being interrogated. I felt like there was a shining light on me.
There was.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Where were you on the night of December 14th?
All right, let's get to this week's game predictions.
I can hardly wait.
Cheesehead Radio. Packers game predictions.
The Green Bay Packers return to the motherland. Actually, technically, we left the motherland. I don't know. They return to America to face yet another overachieving team from New York, this time the Jets. Both teams are 3-2, and one can make the case that both teams could just as easily be 1-4, if not for some opponents that were a little diminished and not playing at their best. For the first time this season, the Packers will kick off at noon, Lambeau Standard Time, as they host the Jets on Sunday, who are 7-point underdogs in this home game for the Pack. How do we see this game going? Al, we'll start with you.
Well, what an embarrassing showing for all those rabid Packer fans that filled Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, came from all over the world. But as bad as that was, were the New York Jets to come to Lambeau and upset the Packers, head should roll, really. I mean, hopefully the Packers received a harsh wake-up call last week, and they'll come out finally going all gas, no effing breaks, remember that, for four full quarters. They'll be wearing their 50s classic uniforms, another reason not to stink up the joint, and hopefully they'll give us a classic bounce-back win. If they don't, it's been a hell of a week, and it's going to be a hell of a worse week around here in New Jersey, let me tell you, losing to two New York/New Jersey teams 2 weeks in a row. But in any case, I'm going to be Mr. Optimist here, and I'm going to say that the Packers are going to defeat the Jets 30-19, God willing.
Well, I know that I'm supposed to be all optimistic and positive and rah-rah Packers, but I am losing a lot of faith in this team right now. There's too much talent on this roster to be playing down to the level of their opponents. And now with this really short week, there's no time for them to make the massive systemic changes that they need on both sides of the ball. We're not going to implement a new defensive scheme in 3 days. The Jets are playing better than the sum of their parts. The Packers are playing less. This loss actually, as you kind of suggested, Al, might actually be what they need to get these major changes in gear. So maybe there's a silver lining, but I'm going to say Jets 24, Packers 20.
Oh, you're putting your 4-1 record on the line there.
Yes.
Oh, good. This is a chance for me to catch up a little.
Well, and that's the only reason I'm going to say, because, you know, Kelly did text here, and she's predicting Packers 27 and Jets 13, because if, you know, I am winning this whole 4-1 record thing, so I want to make sure she doesn't have any sort of out to say it doesn't count. I didn't pick 1 week.
Which country is she in right now?
Luxembourg.
No, but I thought she left Luxembourg. She's hitchhiking.
Yeah, she's in that country to the west of Luxembourg.
Austria.
Is it?
No. Germany, right? Isn't Germany to the?
Yeah.
Oh, no, to the west. Sorry, I'm thinking east. To the west, I think you... God, we just failed geography, didn't we?
We did. Here we go.
Oh, geez.
Thank you for joining us tonight on Cheesehead Radio and our Lucky 13th season. Make sure to head over to PackersTalk.com, where you can listen to other unique Packers podcasts, and follow us on @PackersTalkNet on Twitter. And like us on Facebook. Cheesehead Radio and all Packers Talk podcasts can be heard on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you liked your podcast, show us some love and leave us a review. You can also find us with Siri, Alexa, or Google just by saying Play Packers Talk Podcast. Try it right now. It's really cool. Finally, make sure to support our sponsor, Ticket King. You can find them across the street from Lambeau Field or on the web at theticketking.com. That's theticketking.com. That's a wrap. Go Pack, go.
Go Pack Go. And for the record, I was right. Germany is east of Luxembourg. What's to the west of it is Belgium. And to the south, they have a small border with France, actually. So there we go.
That's why normally they don't let old people do podcasts.
Yeah.